Let's look at Mark today. Love God and neighbor. You kind of know where this is going. There's certain things that if you've been in church a while, you know what it's talking about when we talk about loving God and loving our neighbor. So let's read the scripture and then we'll pray. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well. So they're talking about Jesus and the scribes who disputed with one another, but he answered them well. Ask him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You know, I've really never paid attention to that. I've just kept going. Keep going, and I'll come back to that. And he said, which one are we on? 29? Did I say that one already? Okay, 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. Don't you love that? You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all your heart, with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one another's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And then Jesus saw that he had answered wisely. And he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time that we have together. We ask God that we hear what you need us to hear today on loving you and loving our neighbor and what it means to do that. And what your expectation is from us. God, we just give you glory and we thank you for those that are here today and those that are listening on Zoom. We just offer our hearts up to you, Lord, and ask that you transform us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I'm going to start a bit awkwardly. Not awkward, let's do it. I'm going to name the Ten Commandments in order. Ready? First one. Love the Lord. No, you should have no other gods before me. That's number one. You should have no other gods before me. What's number two? You shall not make idols. Good. Number three. Oh, we got a studier here. Don't take the name of the Lord our God in vain. And number four. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Good on the top four. Let's go to five. Honor your father and mother. And if we don't, if that wasn't drilled into us when we were kids, honor your father and mother. Don't you know it says that is the fifth commandment in the Bible? Yes, ma'am. Six, you should not kill. You should not murder. Okay. Seven, I think you said it. You shall not. Mm-mm. You shall not commit adultery. Okay, adultery. Oh, that. Somebody said, oh, that. Anyway, some people do say, oh, that. Okay, number eight. You shall not steal. Nine. You shall not bear false witness. Lie against, you know, your neighbor. Lie, period. And 10. Okay, let's just go with you shall not covet. You shall not covet. Good job, everybody. But notice it took all of us. It took all of us to do it. So just imagine those who aren't in church every Sunday. Okay? Those who didn't have it drilled into them as a child. How long it would take to do that. Exodus 20 contains what Moses literally called the 10 words. He called the 10 commandments the 10 words. We know them as the 10 commandments. It's a summary of how we are to live our life. Okay. So if you understand the 10 commandments, you have the core of what God expects of you. It's a core to what God expects of you. But even better than that, Jesus summarized it for us with what he says in these two. Now, I never really paid attention to that first sentence, as I said before, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." We find that he is referring to Deuteronomy 6:5. That's where it was said, the Shema. Look at you. The Shema is a prayer of a Jewish faith, where in the Gospel of Mark, the statement really is unique to Mark, that he says it in the New Testament. It's the beginning of the Shema prayer, which is central to Jewish identity. It's central to it. So when Jesus says that, the guy gets it, right? He understands it. Jesus answers the scribe's question with the greatest commandment in the Mosaic law was to hear and acknowledge that the Lord is one. The meaning of this phrase is the first principle is to obey and to understand that God is the one true living God. And if you don't understand that, what comes next after it is totally meaningless. Means nothing. If you don't understand who God is, then why would you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength? And why would you love your neighbor? You don't even know who God is. So the first thing everything is grounded on, everything is based on knowing who God is. I didn't get that before. Did anybody get that before? Besides, no, it wasn't just me? Thank you. We have to. Jesus went on to explain, the greatest commandment is to love God and to love others. He combined, you find this in Deuteronomy 5 and Leviticus 19, verse 18. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And then in Deuteronomy was the one, love the Lord your God, okay? The Ten Commandments were all around that, but those two things were back in there. In other words, we are to love God with our total being, our total being. And doesn't that make you feel a little bit lacking? Because I feel like I don't do that. It's like loving God with what you think, what you do, and what you say. Anybody have that down to a really good science? All packaged up. In 31, he answered the man's question, but in true Jesus fashion, there is always more to it. It doesn't just stop there with Jesus. He always has to give us just a little bit more. When he says, love your neighbor as yourself. So he went from being vertical to horizontal. And we talk about that from him to out. Because that's important. Listen to the claim. Listen, to claim that we love God without loving others is a contradiction. To claim that we love God without loving others is a contradiction to who God is and to even our worship. The two go together. Because that's how God works. He's all encompassing. He just takes it all. If you're going to love me, you're going to love neighbor. Recognizing that Jesus answered the scribe says, and he commended him, this kind of love of God and love of neighbor is much more important than the offerings that we give, than the days that we celebrate. It's more important than that. And some people don't like to hear that because we feel like we have to work our way into God's good graces. And we always fall short. You notice I say we? I mean it. Religious observances are worthless when we don't love God and love neighbor. Getting the day right in your own mind is worthless. All practices without love will not get us close to God. All practices without love will not get us closer to God. It's just a practice. It's just something to do. If there is no love. I love it. the religious leaders after he answered. Because when Jesus answers, you don't have any more questions. You shouldn't. Because he answers completely. Completely. So what should this look like? Our relationship with God ought to be characterized by complete devotion. So what does complete devotion look like? What I think, what I do, what I say. First, we talked about the heart, the influence of the heart. When we think of the heart, we think of love, and we think of kind of a mushy, mushy, mushy. I love you. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul rejoice. But what we're really asking and what we really need to understand is that we want the core of our affections, the desires that we have, to be influenced from the heart, which we want to be in God's hands. Heart relationship is real and allows him to be involved in every aspect of our lives, which can actually be scary when I just said every aspect of our life. I've talked about that before. There are certain aspects that we just don't want to give up. But when we put God involved in every aspect of our life, we're able to lay our heart out before him and let him do surgery. Stitch, stitch, slice, scalpel, precision on our heart. Because we can't work on our heart ourselves. Because the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Only God knows it. Jesus showed us with each interaction he had with someone in the Bible what love looks like. Because for real, didn't you think some of those people should smite them, Lord? But he showed love to each of them. We can trust God with our hearts. We can trust him. Next was the soul. Allow his love to get into our belief system. That's your soul. Our belief system, down to your very soul. Lord, deal with my soul, my belief. That's really down deep if you stop and think about it. Your soul is down so deep that some people just don't even recognize it within you, because there's certain things that we don't want people to know about us. God already knows. God, do a work on my soul. To thee I lift my soul. I love thee, oh my God. Remember that song? Let me not be ashamed, nor let my foes triumph for me. Our very souls. So there's our heart, there's our soul, and then our mind. You know, there's a lot of people walking around with great minds, but no Jesus. Very smart, but no love of God and no love of neighbor, but very smart. When we put our mind under the subjection of God, dominion of God, and put it under love of God, boy, what a mind shift will take place when we do that. It helps us form our thoughts, our mind does, out of relationship with him. Before we address any issues in our lives, we've got to do it through his love. So before we even address our mind, we've got to do it through the love of God and understand that he gets it, that you are not perfect. He gets it, that you're a little bit confused, that which is why he sent a savior. He gets that. And we don't have to go to him fearfully and think that we're not good enough, because truly we're not. But he already knew that, which is why he sent a savior. We don't have to go and be ashamed and say, I just won't bother, because he can't possibly love me. You got to go under what God says he does. God is love, and he loves us, and we can go boldly up to him. Like a parent who knows, and the child knows, that even when they mess up, you still love them. But you still messed up. Doesn't mean I'm going to take you out of it. It means I still love you. You don't have to be scared to come for me. You don't have to hide it behind your back. You don't, like my kids, hide in the candy who he stole, the piece of candy, and was slick enough to go into his other pocket and act like he didn't have the piece he stole in that pocket. I said, do you know what kind of work that took to hide that? That was ingenious to me. It was, I was beyond impressed. I said, I'm impressed that your little mind thought, don't go in the same pocket. I'm not God, so I can only imagine what God says when we try to go in a different pocket and say, see, I don't have it. I've been good this week. I was good today. We can't hide it. I can laugh about it now, but I was like, I can't stand it when you lie to me, honey. And add a honey and it makes it all sweet. I need you to tell me the truth, sweetie. No more candy for him. Oh, I'm sorry. Just for one time going out. Think about when we think about God just going over our mind, our interactions with him and with us. Okay, we interact with him, but here's the other point. He interacts with us. And we got to catch that. And we find that when he said in Revelations 3:20, he says, here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. You see that? You see that two-way street? I will not only eat with them, but they're going to eat with me, which means we're in relationship. Think about connecting with God, sitting with him, and allowing him to do the work in you as he works on that heart, on that mind. And then there's strength. We had heart, we had soul, mind, and strength. When you think about strength, you think about the strength you don't have a lot of times, right? Because I do. I'm like, oh, I'm so weak. I can't open this jar. Lenny, open it for me. Just so weak. We're talking about a great might. And the strength of God should actually give us energy. It shouldn't drain us. It should give us energy. We should be refreshed with the strength of God. We're refreshed with the strength of God because he can give us strength. I think about, I read Psalm 93.
Yay, green.
Check. Thank you, Sarah, and thank you, Sam. We call that quick change. What was I saying? Being refreshed. I had a favorite scripture of my friend Karen's mother. I got to preside over the funeral on Sunday. Psalms 23. And when I went through Psalm 23, because they told me, we don't, you know, you don't have to do a sermon or anything. But when I went through Psalm 23, I was hitting those scriptures and saying just what it meant, right? And I got to the part where it says, I lie down in green pastures. And I said, this means you're going to be refreshed. He gives you peace. You're lying down in, by the calm waters. And he refreshes you. That's what God does for us when we love him with our heart, soul, mind and strength. There's a refreshing that comes. Anybody need to be refreshed? Remembering also that when you don't have the strength, I can't make it one more day. That's when God's really, really, you begin to see him. He's right beside you. He's walking with you. I have no strength left, but thank you, God. You have the strength I need. Walk me through it, Lord. We try and try to love him, but we never feel like it's enough. And we begin to feel like we're not enough. Our performance makes us think we're not performing well enough. That's not what he's looking for. He's not looking for your performance. He's looking for your willingness to turn it all over to him. The fact that we fall short lets us know we need God's grace, because we will fall short. We won't be able to keep these two commands completely well. And I don't have to talk about the second command. And you want to know why, where it says love neighbor? Because when we love God in all this fashion, with all of this, with it pouring out of us, just pouring, we are able to say, wow, loving neighbor is a lot easier, because now God has my heart. He has my soul. He has my mind. He has it all. I can push that out. Not even push it. I can let that flow. And out of the generosity, the overflow, my neighbor gets it. I understand that he loves me, and I understand the grace that he's given me. Without grace, we have no hope for a victory in Christ. We don't. On our own, we're helpless to live out even this love of God, to live it out and truly understand it. We need the grace. We need the Holy Spirit connecting us to Jesus. We need all of that. But grace gives us hope and meaning in our walk with Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Grace encourages us to live in Christ because it teaches us that righteousness is a gift of God in his son, Jesus. It's a gift. Thank God for that gift. I love when he says, even when we were enemies, God sent his son to die for us. And he raised us from the dead when he raised Jesus. That's an indescribable generosity that we can never repay. And when somebody's really generous toward you, doesn't it make you love them a little more? I mean, honestly. It's like this enemy comes up and they give you something. You're like, man. But when God gives it to you, he already gave a son. And then he's even more generous with you. It makes you want to just, what can I do, God? What can I do? He just says, be obedient to me. Show love. Let me work on you. Let me do that. Because you can surely say, no, don't work on me. I don't want it. I want to walk around and I want to be ridiculous all the days of my life. Who wants that? And we love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. The overflow. Sarah mentioned next couple of days, maybe weeks, going to be a bit of a trial. Either way, right? The overflow. Love my neighbor. Love my neighbor because they look like me. Love my neighbor because they vote like me. Love my neighbor because they believe what I believe. Love my neighbor because they worship like me. I didn't see any of those little caveats. That's a word I was looking for. Thank you. And when Jesus says, love your neighbor, he just said, love your neighbor. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't covet, don't. Love your neighbor. Don't limit it to that, because there's going to be 1,000 other things you run into where you're going to have to love your neighbor. What's it going to look like? Are you going to be able to smile and make it through? Are you going to be able to be a place of peace? This is real time. We call this ordinary time in the Bible. This is real life right now in the Bible. We can't act like it's not happening. It is. And we come here next Sunday. Real time. Real love. I always say, we meet at the feet of Jesus. No matter what. Because if it's not Jesus, didn't it say in that scripture that we read in 146, do not put your confidence in princes, in presidents, senators, because when they die, they'll be dust. Put your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has all things placed under his feet. And for that, we are grateful. So as we walk around, we don't walk around defeated. We know the greatest commandment helps us to see the gospel. It tells us that we have an unlimited obligation to the one who is unlimited in his love and his grace for us. Our life is a gift of God. The more we know God, the more we love him. And the more we love him, the more it is our pleasure to serve him and to do his will. And his will, of course, is that we love him and that we trust him and that we have our faith in him and that we have this eternal fellowship with him. The more we give of our life to him, of our heart, the more we give of our heart to him, it is our life, our soul, our mind, our strength. It's going to be easier for us to love our neighbor and to make it through the coming days and years ahead, because it's not over, folks. It's not over. So to God be the glory. Amen. That brings us to communion.